Christmas.
No.
Oh.
No, we did that. We did that. You wore antlers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nodding antlers. I saw the video. Yeah. It was just me going like this.
Yeah, very cute.
Aww,
that's what I wanted to say. Let's just spin that around a wee bit there.
A wee bit there.
We realised we could do a little intro song. Are you ready? That's all we got, really, isn't it?
Happy New Year to you, Adam.
Hi. Episode 17.
17 in 2024.
This is my first... it's not my first... It's my first thing back in the office. I've been working this week, but from home.
But from home, okay.
Yeah, which has been great, actually, because... I'll be truthful, it's allowed me best of both. How was your break? When did you come back? What have you been up to?
So I came back earlier this week, first day back in. So it was Tuesday, I think, Tuesday? Yeah, it was. Yeah. So back in, already been out, seeing new customers. It's been a manic start to the year already.
Always is, isn't it?
Always
it's like
is, but
a Monday morning on steroids.
Yes, definitely. The amount of users, hello, I've forgotten my password.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that, Vicky.
No, exactly. Yeah. Sorry about that. But no, it's been really good getting to see everybody, wishing them a new year. They all seem to have a lovely break. We did have a lovely break. Only a few phone calls, and that was really nice. Customers, very good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I feel like a refreshed young man.
I'm going to say that,
yeah.
Young man.
Yeah, I do. I had a fantastic break. Lots of family time. Went bowling, beat the kids.
Yes. Where was that at?
Just Dolphin Centre in town.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And movies.
Movies. Did Santa bring the kids the tablets?
Oh, Santa did bring the kids the tablets.
Wow.
Yeah, and guess what? That podcast that we did about parental controls and all those things for preparation for Christmas worked really well.
It did.
So,
Did Santa take everything out and prepare it?
He did.
Good Santa.
He did. Yes. He did. It was funny because it arrived and it said child's name and there's an account, but there's another account, parent of child.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. My PIN code was the same.
My goodness me. Did you almost listen to our Christmas podcast?
I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did. Good old Santa.
Yeah, good lad. Good lad.
Santa.
So yeah, so I've been back since, I started back Wednesday.
Right,
doing bits and bobs.
Yeah, no problems.
And then I've been doing a lot of digital, as you can imagine, working from home, because that's what's been going on. So, yeah.
Okay.
I've got something to share with you.
Okay. Why don't you zap me with your new topic?
That's the one.
Oh,
I didn't tip him off. Yeah. Zapier.
Incredibly good.
I didn't know much about it.
Oh, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
You know.
So Zapier, if you don't know what that is, it is, how do we say it? Automation, AI, there is some AI. I'll talk about that.
It's integrated, it's components that allow you to integrate product A with product B.
Yeah, so you can connect websites to YouTube.
WordPress
forms, WordPress. I'm tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Power Automate within Microsoft does a lot of this, but Zapier was effectively there a little bit early. So I've used it before. It's exceptionally good. I do try and use it. If I find the Zapier component and I look in Power Flow, I'm like, oh, right, it's there anyway. I'll utilize that.
Yeah.
Because it obviously means I don't have to use multiple products.
Yep.
But for some things, it's honestly the bee's knees.
Yeah. I think having that separate thing outside of 365, Microsoft, is quite good. So, yeah, I've been automating things.
Tell me more.
Okay, so you're a user for this client that we're working with, and it's a consultation exercise.
Okay.
So you need to come along and go, hello, I want to add my opinion.
Okie dokie, and how do I add my opinion?
So now... Before, what you had to do is physically talk to me, colleague, and we'd manually go in and do that. That would involve lots of waiting around and this and the other. But part of this project, whilst it is that, there is also a let's submit things online. I want to be able to do this.
Yeah.
So your experience now is you can add your voice.
Very clever, I like.
Insert your first name. GDPR, we don't need the second. For the purposes of this, you can then put your area where you live, because obviously that's part of the consultation.
Yeah.
You can then add some text. in, I like that. You know, we're trying to garner positive opinions.
Yes.
So hopefully that's what we get. You can then say, yes, you consent, obviously, because you're loading it, but we still need that box there, really, to get that.
Yeah.
And then you get a choice.
Ooh.
Upload a photo or upload a video.
Oh, nice.
So you do that. And when you hit submit, obviously it goes into the website. And you're done. You're happy.
That's me being...
However, for me...
in the background.
In the background, I would have potentially a raft of these things, these submissions coming in. And I'd be like pulling my hair out, what's left of it anyway, pulling my hair out to then publish the article. Did you say there's no hair? He's shaking his head.
I just looked. I just looked.
I shaved it the other day. I've got a story about my head.
So
I'll come back to that. But then I was like, I'm going to have all these consultation things and there's a lot of processing, a lot of manual. Yeah. So imagine you've got 50 submissions.
And obviously this website's open to the public. So the more people that let any more, suddenly Adam's got 100 draft.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So what?
Surely you must have automated it.
Yes, I did. That's where Zapier comes in. So got onto Zapier, never used it before. Set it up, linked it with WP Forms, which is the plugin that we're using on there.
For WordPress, yeah.
Premium plugins, what we're using. So we've paid the price to access that, but we're using that across other stuff as well, which is great. And I've plugged WP Forms into Zapier, back into WordPress. So it comes out of the website into Zapier, which pushes it back into the website and basically creates a post.
I assume in draft format.
In draft format.
Yeah, because you've got to, because otherwise people could be like, lots
yes.
of yes.
So this was the other criteria I had. Don't just leave it open so people can do what they want
with
it. So yeah, it goes into the website as a draft post. And it's there to then review. I've then thought, do you know what? I'm feeling confident here.
Good.
I'm feeling confident. If they upload a video, I want it to go to YouTube.
No, don't tell me that Zapier have got a link to YouTube.
They have.
Oh my gosh.
Now, so you, when you click upload a video instead of a photo, what it does, it takes the video file and uploads it into YouTube. I've tried doing the whole set it as private so it doesn't go public. Doesn't really work. It's still going as just public.
Right.
So, but what you can do in Zapier is you can actually determine when it would publish.
Right, I'm with you.
So I've put like a 2 week, whatever day you submit your thing and it's going to go live in 2 weeks. So I know that I'm going to be checking it all the time. But I know I've got a 2 week window to snag any things. And if at any point I need to turn it off, I can just turn the Zapier bit off.
I thought within YouTube you could set up a channel and then a sub-channel, and that sub-channel is private, so you could get it to publish it immediately, but it's only available to you, and then you can move it between channels.
This is why we talk about these things. Okay, I need to look at that. But yeah, I can't get that feature to work, but I can get the upload feature to work.
If you can get the upload feature to work, you could load it to a sub-channel, and that sub-channel is private to you. You see, then you don't need to put a 2 week delay on it. It's immediately available, but then you can just move it to the public channel.
Noted. So what I'd then need to do is circle back.
Yes.
And create an embedded post.
Yeah.
Embedded video on that draft content, but it's all subject to checking. Part of the issue you have is, or concerns, is if you're opening your thing your project to the internet.
Yeah, of course.
Anything can go in.
Oh, absolutely. You do get some people out there that just want to,
ruin
it for everybody else. So,
so as you can tell, my start to the year has been very non-technical.
No, very non-technical whatsoever. That's really positive, though. So the downtime that we were talking about last year that you wouldn't work, you ended up tinkering.
although I held off. Until I came back. And I'd already done some of the Zapier stuff beforehand.
Yeah.
Got it to sort of version one. And then I've just pushed it live to the client this morning going, right, try it, because he's keen to try out with a small cohort.
Exactly.
So he's going to try out with a small cohort and we'll see how that goes. So who knows? Be screaming in agony by the end of today if all goes wrong.
can I ask, did you end up using the free version of the Zapier account for now?
For now, yes.
Yeah, right, okay. Because there is a, for those people out there, there is a paid version.
Yep.
And obviously that gives you some access to some really, you know, really cool integration techniques and things. But the, even so, the free version provides you with a plethora of options.
Ooh, plethora.
Do you like that?
Yeah, no, the free version does. It's good for single zaps, I think it was.
I think it is.
There's so many zaps you can do.
Per month.
Do you know what? In truth, I've looked at the premium and I'm like, I quite fancy it.
Yeah.
I quite fancy it. There's some really good stuff in there. However, let's get to grips with the basic first and then
yeah, and I think
there.
It's fair to say, Adam, do check your existing Microsoft 365 Power Automate options, because obviously if it's in there, you've already got it. You don't have to pay for it again.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But I do appreciate that some of the components within Zapier are not available.
WP Forms, very specific integration.
Correct, it's 100%. That's not available in Power Automate. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'm conscious that I've already got one thing over there that I'm just getting to, learning already.
Makes no difference, Adam. You're now adding more tools to your tool bag, and it means that from your point of view, to you saying to your customers, if they want some kind of automation, and let's face it, it doesn't need to be that the customer knows that it's automated. You've just made your life more simple. You've worked smarter, not harder, which is one of the themes we had from last year.
Exactly. And and whilst I've probably spent 12 hours.
Yeah, in total.
In total on just this automation element, which to people listening, they might be like, what? But A, if you know what you're doing and you've worked with Zapier before, it's all well and good when you know what you're doing. When you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know what you don't know, and all this sort of thing.
We've said that before.
The other side is testing, huge amount of time testing and getting things to show up correctly.
Customers don't see, you see. Yep. You just think, oh, you've done it great, thanks. You say, yeah, but it was like hours and hours of figuring it out, testing, seeing what goes wrong. Also, attempting to break it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll upload a 1 hour video. Oh, right, that broke it.
Yeah, I've limited the file sizes. I've done all these various things, because you don't want to be just filling the website up. So there are file limits on size and stuff like this. But yeah, it has been a really positive experience, actually. Good. Really hard. And not working, like at times I'd go ready, submit, and it'd say failed. You're like, why? Anyway, you know, just process of elimination, trying to work through it. But going forward, whilst I've spent say 12 hours on it now, when it goes out to the public, it's going to save me a lot more time and a lot more less stress. A lot less stress.
Yes, a lot less stress.
In terms of when those submissions do come in, I'm not having to copy and paste text. I'm removing the chances of errors.
I think so. The other thing to bearing in mind is that, and we spoke about this last year, God, it sounds weird saying that, doesn't it?
2 weeks ago. A week ago.
But you've spent that time, so they're your 12 hours that you've bagged, done, dusted. Imagine somebody comes up to Adam's Rare Bookshop and says, I'd like to leave reviews. You can just go...
The fictional bookshop, let's just remind people.
Fictional bookshop.
Yeah.
Andy's Rare Bookshop.
Yeah, Andy's or Adam's or,
But you've already got that work done.
Yes.
So what you say is suddenly go, aha. So those 12 hours that you've invested have not only worked for customer A, they'll work for customer B through to Z.
Yeah.
That's the key that I always say to people. Take the time. You may feel, I'll just do it manually because it's quicker. Yeah, but then the next time you do it, I'll just do it manually. How many times? Whereas now, work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. So setting up a form, straightforward enough. But what I would have done is set up a form. It would have had to be emailed to me originally on the form thing that was there that we were using. And I was like, that'd have to be emailed in. There'd be no central record of it. So WP Forms holds a central record in the site.
Yeah.
So we've got it there. You can see the submission. It also emails the submission.
Yeah.
But also when they hit submit, it automatically creates that draft post.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's like, bang, done. I don't have to log in. I don't have to copy and paste. Like, it's just better in terms of a better way of working. And then I was like, right, okay, because then it triggers ideas. So I'm like, onboarding clients. I need a form that says name, address, company number. And I just go, right, here's our onboarding. If you want to work with us, fill out our onboarding form.
Yep.
They put the information in rather than me scurrying around company's house.
Yeah.
I need to think about some kind of validation, make sure it's correct. But, you know.
Did you know that the Government UK website has APIs?
IP.
Yes, APIs.
Certainly
you can do an API. So you could do is in the form that you create, you could get the customer to say, what is your customer company registration number? Utilize the API. You've got everything back.
And then I want it to take that into a contract. And then I want it to...
Now, how interesting that you say all of that, because oddly enough, I've got a conversation with a customer going, and they want exactly the same thing. So I'm developing a Microsoft form. It's not linked in with the APIs. But what they're doing is they're filling in the, telling the customer, please fill out this form. So Adam, HubSpot, Media, whatever. And they fill it all in. They press the button to submit. Using Power Automate, it's built in Microsoft Forms.
Yep.
Using Power Automate, it sends an email to you asking for confirmation so you can sense check it.
Yes.
Once you've confirmed, I go away and create all the folders within Teams automatically for them.
That sounds great.
Which is exactly what
I want. I want it to go into, it sticks the name and address and details into the contract.
Yes.
I then want it to potentially give me an option to stick the dates in. Probably.
You can do that anyway. They're talking about setting up the contract. It's not a contract for this customer, but think of it as a contract.
And then
I'm going to squirt the text out into a text file and then use Microsoft Word's mail merge to do the contract for them.
Right, we need to talk off
there. How come these podcasts always work out?
I know.
We need to talk.
We need to talk. We need to figure this out. Yeah. So, and then what I want it to do, well, we use Adobe Sign, so I want it to...
It's easy enough to do.
I know. I did start, I had it on my list to do yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a bit of a big, thinking about the 12 hours I spent on Zap, I'm like, this is a bigger job than just yesterday.
Yeah, but I think, again, it's worthwhile doing because those types of things that you can take, and again, the reason, one of the things that I'm doing is that I'm taking this project for this customer, but I'm making sure that I'm expanding it. And what I mean by that, Adam, is I'm going, okay, it's not just a contract. It's not just a whatever. How can Resilient utilize this? So like you've done with your Zapier form, I'm going, okay, if I make it generic enough, there you go. That's it for Adam's Rare Bookshop. That's it for HubSpot Media.
Yep.
Another customer comes along and goes, I've already got 90% of that code for you. Let me tweak it. Ta-da, done.
So here's the next bit. I'm then like, right, Google reviews.
Yeah.
Zapier goes and reads a Google review.
Yeah,
pulls it into a post into WordPress, and you then have that post scrolling through the website somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. It's again,
ideally 5-star reviews only.
Ideally 5-star reviews, but you know what I get.
We don't have any bad reviews.
The other thing that this customer wants is that we're developing a front end web dashboard for them. So when they log in, again, imagine Rare Bookshops. Okay, so it's Adam's Rare Bookshops. And effectively, you would log into your dashboard first thing in the morning, and it would say, you've still got outstanding for customer Andrew Reed, this particular book, for Jess, this particular book, whatever. And what he's after and what we are developing with him is that, let's say that the book for Andrew Reed is overdue.
Yep.
Okay. Bearing in mind the information that we've got, Adam, I know through your supplier in Germany. How is he, by the way?
He's very well.
He's very well. Are you going there soon?
Yeah.
I
go every podcast episode. It seems.
You know that the supplier is who's providing you or sourcing that book for you.
Yep.
So you know that. You know the email address of him. You know the date that you've asked him to get this book for your customer, Andrew Reed. So twisting the story ever so slightly, but what my customer wants is that... Imagine that your dashboard is sorted by due date or like, oh my goodness me, I've promised my customer, Andy Reed, that this book would be available here and it's running close to the time.
Okay,
created I've already done this as a demo. There's a button by the side of it and it says email. You click the email and it automatically brings up a draft email to your supplier. Because I know the email address.
Yes.
The subject, I know the subject because it's the book. And it basically writes the email going, hi, supplier, this customer, Andy Reed, we agreed to get book, blah, 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 blah. Just wondered where you are with it. And all you do is you read the draft and go, send.
I like that. He's smiling at the camera again.
I've got to do it for 2024.
You do? Yeah, okay. You're doing it when she turned them on, though.
Oh, yeah. Just think by this time next year,
We'll have 52
of me smiles.
I think it's more than that, in fairness, because you do extras. So, yeah. Yeah. Alina has got a little stash of you smiling, by the way, haven't you? Yeah.
When's it going out?
When we've got lots of smiles.
Oh, my God. Good.
Yeah. No, she's been keeping them. Saving Andy's smiles. Good. Stop it. You're doing it again.
Oh, sorry. So this customer's loving it because they can just literally get the email. So we talked about last year about automation and a lot of things. What this customer specifically said, and these are his words, not mine, he went, I just want automation to take out the mundane
crap. Stuff.
Stuff, yes. I can't use the word that he said.
Yeah.
But he was literally loving the demo because he went, Andy, I spend half my time chasing emails or, you know, like chasing things. You've just literally saved me 5 minutes, but that 5 minutes, multiply it throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month. He loved it. Because remember, we've already got all that information. Click. Yeah, that's fine. Click send.
Boom.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, I know we keep coming back to automation, but it is the thing, really. At the moment, in terms of small businesses and what they could be doing, it is one of the biggest things. And actually, you could be doing it definitely to benefit your customers.
Yeah.
You know, in our case, it is going to benefit our customers, but equally, it benefits ourselves.
Yeah.
It allows us to focus on other jobs in terms of, I appreciate there's a bit of learning at times, there's a bit of snagging, you know, I'm saying 12 hours.
Yeah.
But really, you know, I'd imagine we are 98% good on that Zapier thing that I've done.
Definitely.
I'd be surprised if the other 2% isn't complete today.
2%. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
As in, I think I've done as much testing as I can. I think that process is nailed.
Yeah.
And now, going forward, we can focus on driving traffic.
Instead of
trying to drive traffic and then going in and then having to do all this processing on the back.
The processing thing, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Adam. That's the key, that if you can use automation to help you, and, you know, as I said, this gentleman said, take out the mundane stuff.
It's copy and paste, isn't it, at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, all he says is, I just sit there and go, hi, Adam, this customer's blah, blah, blah. Where are we with the book, blah, blah, blah. He went, it doesn't matter that the template is exactly the same wording every time. Yeah. The supplier gets the thing. He's not reading going, Adam sent me the same email for the last 25 times. It makes no difference. Subject header, all right, fine. Hi, Adam, it's coming. It's on its way. Yeah. It'll be with you.
But it shows you're attentive.
That's the key.
It shows you're attentive, and you are. And it's not that the reason why you can have something do that, is your time well spent going, I need to check all of these dates on this thing, unless you have something that just flags it to you.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, the next step that we spoke about is that this particular customer, he's got an army of people doing other things for him, like third party things. Each one of them, again, I'm trying to keep away from the subject so I don't give things away, but each one of them effectively does their role for this job.
Yep. They've each
got their component part, and what this gentleman does is he has regular reviews with them.
Yep.
Okay. And it's obviously based upon, shall I say, their sales.
I saw you turn on Do Not Disturb on that phone.
I did.
He can't work technology, this guy. You need an Andy.
I need an Andy mute. This customer has reviews of these people. They're all on a, shall I say, a commission basis.
Yep.
Okay, so the more you do, the better you do. Okay, what he's after is, again, like we've done with the outstanding late books, think of Adam's bookshop again.
Yeah.
He's got another tab, and it basically shows all of the guys, all of his consultants, if I call them that, and their rating. So Adam's given 20 jobs. He's a 98.9% success rate or whatever like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it stars them. So he's got a little star thing. And the best thing that I demonstrated to him was that he says, well, I have these regular meetings. And I went, watch this. And it's because of you, this.
Is it?
You know your bookings thing in Microsoft?
Yeah.
Yeah. I clicked the button.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I looked at Adam's calendar.
Yep.
I looked at the consultant's calendar, and I did a draft email for the guy, and he went, it's time for our regular review. I've checked your calendar and my calendar. This seems like the perfect slot because I've used Microsoft Automate to check both calendars, and I've automatically suggested a calendar day.
That's brilliant. I helped with that today.
You did help that with Microsoft Bookings.
I did a thing. I was actually on Microsoft Bookings the other day. I had one thing where it was asking for people to log into the Microsoft account.
Right, okay.
I need to show you that. Yeah. There's another list. Yeah, job on exactly. The list. It'll be minor. I've opened it to anyone, but it's still asking people to log in at times. But then what I've done is I've set up different calendar appointments. The team don't know this yet, so Alina, right. When you're editing this, this is news for you. You're not having a good time with that phone today. What are you? Is that a new phone?
No, it's not a new phone. I know what it is.
He knows what it is.
I know what it is.
He knows what it is. You don't know what you don't know, clearly.
I don't know what I don't know.
Microsoft bookings. What yeah. The team don't know, so Alina, get ready for this one on the edit. I've actually set it up for the entire team, so you can book out at a meeting with any member of the team.
Well done.
They're like the meeting side, and then I've also put my media shoots in there. Yeah. So half the battle I have a lot of the time is someone goes, right, I'd like a half day filming.
Yes.
When are you available? And then, excuse me, then I go through the whole look at my calendar. And I've used Calendly and I've used bookings. Yeah. I've been exploring it. When it's an hour meeting, I'll go, there you go, book something in. And it's great. But because I was having that login issue of bookings in terms of it's asking people to log into Microsoft and they might not be using Microsoft.
Yeah, of course.
I've just stuck with the Calendly thing. But then I'm like, when I do half days filming, I had to then manually go and do it. So I'm like, no, I'm going to crack this. So I've got 30-minute photo calls. I've got like 2-hour shoots, half day shoots.
Clever.
So then I just say, right, go into my bookings page, look at my calendar and book me in. Like,
really clever.
Yeah. Because that in itself takes a lot of time and it pulls you out of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So say if you're working on a website or social media plan or the, you know, I could be photographing, they're waiting on me. They can just do that. I can just go, here's the link.
Yeah.
Here's the selection of meetings that we're doing. You need to choose the half day filming, find out when there's half day available.
Yeah.
And providing you keep your calendar up to date, which I do.
Yes,
absolutely do. You're absolutely fine. I've got a similar thing in for when I do my DJ and I've got a Calendly thing to my DJ stuff and that syncs with my family calendar.
Nice.
So if we've got a family engagement, that's in the calendar. It takes me out for DJing, so no one can book me for DJing.
Perfect.
But it saves me doing this whole, I'm a free on the 17th, yes, I'm free on the 17th, exactly. You know, this, that, and the other. So,
good. Positive.
It has been a really positive start to the year. And how many days are we? What are we? Fifth.
Yes.
Fifth. 5 days. In.
I miss your mum's calendar entries.
Which
you know, when we're on the Mac and they used to pop up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we don't have a laptop. Yeah, normally no. It does that. Mum and my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. They don't, yeah. Although they're both off today. So.
Are they?
Oh. Yeah. So, So I am really, really optimistic. I appreciate we got very heavy very quickly into the tech. But I think we did. I hope people like that. I mean, it's hopefully giving you ideas. It gives me ideas all the time.
Every time we talk, it gives us ideas.
Yeah, so... that kind of for me sets the tone a bit on 2024.
Yeah,
I think so. In terms of how do you increase capacity, make sure you're focusing on the doing a good job.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think automation is
I think
a huge
we should concentrate a little bit more. I think I got some good feedback on the remember the spare that I did, spare set of hands.
I like that.
That was very
good. Spare. Yeah, but this is happened. Exactly. Was that two or three episodes ago?
Yeah. Where it was SPARE because you wanted a spare pair of hands.
Yes.
And that's what we've been saying to our customers, and certainly for 2024, this is my push for customers. It's automate as much as you can. Take as much as the mundane stuff away, you know, not out of your control, let's put it that way. We had an interesting conversation with a gentleman on Tuesday about AI, and he was like, I'll never trust it. And I'm like, no. You're looking at it the wrong way. Use AI to suggest, use the technology to make sure that, you know, it's not taking you out of control, but use it to suggest, and then you review. Like you've just done, the 99% of your form, you still have the ability to go, don't like that wording, or no, that's just a bit. But it's done 90% of it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you just hit the button and go, fine, I'm happy.
The process works.
The process works. Yeah. That's the key today.
And I think that's the thing. If you're working in a, I played some games over Christmas, which was brilliant. Just computer games and board games.
Excellent.
So computer game-wise, been playing a game called Factorio.
You are never going to believe that.
I'm never going to believe that.
You're never going to believe this. That was one of my favourite games of last year, and I've just restarted it over Christmas.
There we go.
Loving it.
Right.
I've just got nuclear.
Right. We need to hook up and
we need to play together.
So this sound, when someone first told me about this game, I was like, no chance.
Yeah.
And how would you describe it to me?
Top down, little man running around, and you've got to, my son, Daniel, who hates the game.
Yeah.
It was introduced to me by James, my other son, who loves the game. Yeah. And he went, it's a bit laborious, but once you get into the automation, about factory belts and stuff, and honestly, I was hooked.
So
I can't wait for Factorio 2.
Yeah, you kind of said. So is it really
Factorio 2? See, I'm just saying space.
Right. Okay. Well, you crash land on a planet, don't you? See, the idea is your little man crash lands on a planet, and you need to basically build a spaceship to escape. Yeah. Right. It's the simple thing. But how it works is by creating a factory.
Yes.
And
hence
you'll
Factorio.
Yeah, and when you are mining coal and iron
ore,
it's very
copper,
convenient that it has all the same elements that
does,
we have here.
It? Yeah, exactly.
So when you're mining those things, you're creating pollution, and the residents, the aliens, want to attack you. So you've got to also do that while being attacked and set up defences. But you might be like mining iron. You've got to put it in a furnace to smelt it to make an iron plate, and then you might have to turn the iron plate into cogs.
Yeah.
And then you've got little robotic arms feeding things in, and you've got little conveyor belts going all over the place. And it sounds really, really weird
it
to
does.
Talk about as a game.
But
it's really addictive. I switch off.
Oh, yeah. So are you new to Factorio then?
Relatively is what I'd say. I got it as probably about 12 months, well, maybe 9 months ago sort of thing. And I had a little go then. And then I've just been so busy. I haven't been gaming, which I've missed actually.
Yeah.
Partly because DJing and everything else is it was happening when I'd do that. But I've done it and I was just switching off, and it's brilliant. And Factorio. The only issue I had is I was playing it quite a bit. One of the days I did do quite a.
I do long stuff.
Time just passes.
Oh, unbelievable.
So I went to bed, closed my eyes, and I could see the little conveyor belts running up and down in my eyes. It was weird, but yes, I've been doing that, which is also automation.
That's brilliant.
Which kind of like helps my thinking into other
it does
things.
Because it's really logical. You have to think, and you have to sort of like go, well, I have to put that there, and then you smash it all down because like, no, I need bigger, I need faster. You get faster belts. You get. Did you play it to the point where you?
I've never made nuclear or anything like that.
No, not even the robots.
No.
Oh my goodness.
To be honest, I started afresh because I was
so
out
did
of
I.
practice.
I started again.
I started afresh because I was out of practice. And I was like, where are we? So I'm now currently creating an area dedicated to research.
Yes, no, exactly.
You've got these little research potions you got to make, and then you got to feed the little research potions
into
the machine.
You've got to build, and you manually put down, and you manually do this. You get to the point where you research blueprints.
Yes.
And then the blueprints you can copy and stamp them down to recreate it, but you've researched to the point where you've got little robots that jump out of your back and automatically build it for you.
Okay, I like that. sorry if we've lost you, everyone that's listening.
It's the Factorio episode now.
It is. It's very niche.
It is.
And the people that love it really, really love it.
One of my friends says, it's like Minecraft. You either hate it or you suddenly get involved in it. Dan was like, nah, can't stand Factorio, it's boring. I looked at it and went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm in.
Hours and weeks.
Hours, weeks. So I've started from scratch. So Christmas, I was like, I finished Stargate and I did what I did. And I went, what can I go back to? And it was James. He went, hi, Dad. Do you fancy playing some Factorio? And oh my God, I've forgotten about that. And then that was it. Lost.
Hours. What was the other game? Lethal Company is the other game that group. It's new. Graphics aren't like amazing. If it's one of these gameplay type things, and you are spacemen who have to go and salvage stuff from planets that have had things taken over, but it's quite funny. And you use voice over IP to talk to each other. So if you walk out the room, I can't hear you.
Yes, of course.
And there's monsters and baddies and stuff that get you.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
<in.
laughs> I was like, I'll stay in the ship and use a walkie-talkie. So I did a bit of that over Christmas. That's
definitely.
No automation going on there, but Factorio-wise, I'm definitely developing.
We're going to swap character names and we're going to set
up
our own
server. Yeah, we'll do our own one. Yeah,
brilliant.
We'll do that. I think you're going to be so much better than I am, by the way.
No, but
I'm just going to be soaking it in.
Absolutely, I'll show you exactly what
I'm like. I was like, I could take this into my work. I was like, this is a game representation of how I should run my, well, maybe not how I should run my business. Maybe your version should be how I run run my business.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why not? They're like things feeding.
Yeah.
The term sausage machine was coming into my head. You know, you put a lot of things in one end and you get sausages out the other, or in our case, it'd be work.
Yeah, definitely.
Productivity. So yeah, I was playing that going, yeah, I need to do. So 2024 for me is automation.
May I ask, I know we're sidetracking, what was the board games you were playing?
So I was introduced on New Year's Eve to Settlers of Catan.
No, new one.
Really quite interested. It's been around for years.
Right.
Mate was like, let's give it a go. So right. We were there, the kids were running riot, and we just sat in the kitchen and played that for a little bit.
Good.
And then three games later, because it was quite addictive, you got like, get your settlements down, build roads between your settlements, and you get resources. It was really good fun.
Really good.
Yeah.
Good downtown
then,
as well.
Survivor, Escape from Atlantis. That was a game that got gifted to us.
Right.
And you've got your little men on an island in the middle of the sea. Do you know what? I think I'm just enjoying having something analog.
Yes.
That makes analog sound very millennial.
Yeah.
You know, like something very physical. Social experience, that sort of thing. So that's
well,
been good.
We touched upon this last year in the other podcasts. Whilst I enjoy playing the games, you know, like the Stargate,
Starfield.
Starfield, thank you. Starfield, what I find really good is when we do the LAN play. So me and James hook up on Discord, play Factorio, and we're not only engaging in the game itself, but, you know, when we're all, like, busy doing stuff and he's off doing stuff, and I'm like, so how's it going, son? And we have a good chat. Now, bearing in mind, for the listeners, he's in Austria. So I obviously do not get to see him at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, only when it's Christmas or when he comes across. So for me to be able to catch up with him, just on a social level, how was your day-to-day? You know, how was your weekend?
Yeah.
What's work like? It's fabulous. So not only are we enjoying the game, we're actually talking about, you know, family life
and things. Hanging out, basically.
So, this, as soon as this podcast finished, which is now, goodbye.
Factorio.
Michelle will be like, have we done any work today? No, me and Adam just played Factorio.
Yeah, Alina, you're going to have to put a clip of Factorio on them.
Yeah, please do. It's phenomenal.
I mean, the top people that do it, you see it, and it's, well, that's well, it's bad sounds of it. Yours is going to look like... But it looks
YouTube
crazy.
YouTube, the gentleman that I watch for inspiration called Nilaus. He did a brilliant one that I burst out laughing because he does tutorials about Factorio. So I learn, you know, I'm soaking up all this knowledge, and all I remember was that he was running through the tutorial, performing a tutorial for me watching it, and then the guy came up, or the guy, and said, blah, 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 in the tutorial. And he just went, no, go away, tutorial. I am the tutorial.
Doing a tutorial for the tutorial.
Yeah, but honestly, we'll cook up over the weekend. That's really good. I'm loving the fact that you love
Factorio. I'm useless at it.
No.
But I enjoy it.
That's all that matters.
And it does make me go, actually, okay, if I'm really, you know, I'm really motivated about this little digital factory in space, I should... How can I implement these changes into my business? So there is a link.
Of course, that's what we're talking about. The whole thing was being about automation, and that's why I love the game, because it's automated.
Yeah,
makes you think. Ooh, I can reutilize that. I can do, you know, like you were saying about the cogs. You're not, you know, you don't just make the cogs for one thing. Yeah. You end up going, well, actually, if I increase
I need to
the
send
cogs,
cogs over there, cogs correct. There, cogs to the, yeah. And then you're going, oh, I'm not producing enough steel. Why not? Oh, because I don't have enough energy. Or don't.
It's
which is kind of like the snagging that I was on about with Zapier.
Yes,
of, you know, one stage in the process might fail and you've got to do it. And it is laborious in terms of trying to snag that, whether it's in Factorio or whether it's
in work.
When you strike again, I've got to take down my walls in Factorio and then relay them and do this, that and the other. Or whether it's, it keeps failing at this stage and I don't know why in Zapier. And then you've got to do that. And then once you've done that, you'd go, right, that's done. And then you go, right, what's the next thing? And then you start all over again.
All over again. I think the key that I love personally about automation is that not only does it give me and the customer like really good satisfaction to sort of like, you know, I've done it, like, oh, great, I've done that for the customer. The customer then loves it because like, oh, that's great, you've saved me. I would like to say 100% of the time, both me and the customer going, right, now what can we do?
Exactly. I think we've always had that discussion when we've been talking about things, whether it's social or automation side.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what can we do next?
Yes.
You know, and I think the thing I think is my limiting factor is my understanding of what I can do.
Yeah.
So I need to try and punch out of, right, well, if that works here, how, where else does it work? And I think that's a real block.
Oh, I think so. I think it's going to be really good. I did have a thought about one of the episodes for the podcast. It will involve some work between you and me, but I think if me and you hook up, so you know this idea that we had probably last year, but I've just mentioned it, about getting your customer set up. So yep. For a new customer, this is not for Adam's Bookshop, it's for Adam HubSpot.
HubSpot, yeah.
Yeah. So a new customer comes on board, we fill in the form, we automatically create the team's channels, we automatically...
Yes.
All the things that you wouldn't expect. So
that we currently do manually.
We currently do manually, because yeah. The other one that I said, going back to my other customer, is that, again, I try and think on behalf of them.
100%, yeah.
So the other thing he said, when he set up the brand new customer, I said, oh, the other thing we can do is we can add it to the Outlook GAL, Global Address List.
Yes, okay.
And he went, what?
The Huda?
What's a GAL?
I've heard of it, but yeah. I don't know.
So I went, it's a Global Address List book. So I said, if you're signed up with Microsoft 365, which he is, everybody's got contacts.
Yes.
You've got contacts in your Outlook. Yeah. If you add that contact to the global address list, not only do you have the contact, but Jess has it.
That's really good to know.
Lena has it.
Yeah.
So what I, and he was just like, oh my goodness. He said, the amount of times.
You've got to share emails.
Share emails.
Well, I do that now.
Yeah, no, you do. And you're like, what's the contacts for? Resilient. What's the contact? He said,
yes, please.
All you need to do is, once it's in the GAL, everybody just look up and go, oh, resilience address box are there. Email, mobile number, contact details, main number, whatever. It's all there. Enter it once, everybody's got it. And again, the gentleman, God bless him, he was like, oh God, Andy. I love talking to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because again, I think on their behalf.
Problem. It is a problem. Because sometimes I've had it where someone's gone, can I have the email address for this client? And I'll be out photographing or shooting for a day.
Yeah.
A whole day will go by. I might not get.
I'm not going to smile.
You're not going to smile because she's just really smiling.
I love it.
The cameras.
Hello.
Hello. But I might not get to that email until
because
the next day
absolutely.
Because I've been busy. Yeah. You know, it depends on the situation. But I love that. The other thing I was thinking was an amendments form.
Right.
So when we do client amendments, Alina's currently over on my camera waiting for me to stop speaking. And she's reset the camera and it's on me. I was mid-sentence, so I was making a wait.
Evil.
Evil, yeah. So as we go through, so we'll do a video. Let's say, Andy, we go and shoot a video, but it's not just you. Like we've done bits where you just talk to camera. He's a one-take wonder. You are.
Thank you.
We've done a bit where, you know, there might be B-roll footage, different shots of somebody doing their work or buildings or whatever it is, and we'll cut that in. And we might have done an interview, but the one it's shorter or longer or an extra shot of something in. At the moment, the process we follow is we're very diligent in terms
of
amendments.
Yeah.
And we determine how many amendments clients get and we try and get them all through one. But then I'm like, it's either to my email if I'm doing it and taking care of it or to Alina's email. And I'm like, well, what if Alina was off sick?
Yeah.
What if Alina deleted the email? For example. Or what if I deleted the email? And I don't mean deleted in terms of, it's in their inbox.
Yes.
So this is actually a live discussion with you very much about a process I want to implement. So it's a client amendment form.
Yeah.
So when you go, here's your video, we usually send via WeTransfer, here's your video, send it to them. Please fill out your amendments on this form.
Okay.
Simply done.
Yeah.
Teams form.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got a central record.
All right. I guarantee you we're going to do a project for you. WeTransfer, whilst exceptionally good, because it obviously transfers the video, your customers then got to download that video, then got to extract it, then got to do everything. Let's create a Microsoft form, and we've already stored the customer's video up in their own private YouTube channel. They don't need to download it. They just click to play it, and they're the only people that can see it, but then they fill in the same form on Teams. You've removed a process. You've removed an email.
Yeah.
They don't need to download it. They just click on a link and we can automate that email.
Wow. Yes,
the email
please.
Will say forms, the email will say that. So let's do that as a project. Because
see, this is why you need to just start talking at Andy.
I know.
You just have to start doing it. I had an idea.
Yes.
But again, 12 hours on Zapier just to post a WordPress blog thing. Yeah, but yeah, you're like, got that. Let's do that. That's exactly what I want.
So let's put some time, because what I'm thinking, Adam, is let's put some time in to do that, but then let's dedicate the podcast to go, right,
yep,
how did that journey go? And yes, we can show the users and say,
yeah, we'll show them
manually.
Yep, we'll do
Here's a little video of it now automated.
100%.
But there you go.
Yes, please. Yeah, because the amendment thing, it's also back and forth.
Of course it is.
And sometimes people go, can I have A, B, C, and D done?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, done. And then they go, what about E and F? I'm like, you didn't tell me enough.
No,
you
know, exactly. Like, the good news is when you put it in the Microsoft form, you've also got version
central
history.
Central log, yes.
Central log, but you've got version history.
Perfect.
And I don't mean that against you or the customer, but you could go back and go,
No, it's central record. If you've missed it, you've missed it.
Missed
I've got
it.
No issue.
No.
You know, if I have missed it, then great.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for flagging. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, is, you know, like I say, we're quite diligent in terms of trying to get people to add the detail into the amendments is often hard.
Yes.
In terms of how do you communicate something that's really visual?
Yeah.
It's a challenge. I'm not having to go at clients here at all. I find it difficult to accurately, even like Alina and I are working on the showreel for this year that's going out. I've been talking to her this week remotely and I still haven't communicated that.
No.
Clearly to her. It's not on you, Alina, at all. I'm like, So then we've sat there this morning, just before this, 2 minutes. I went, sorry, what I'm trying to say is X, Y, Z. And she's gone, got you.
Yeah.
I'm like, right, okay.
But
that was the face-to-face. So trying to do remote amendments is sometimes quite difficult.
Yeah.
In the past, to get around that, I've done Teams meetings and shared
exactly
the screen and it works well. But yeah, anything that helps with that sort of...
Yeah,
I know Vimeo has things where you can flag things in there, but obviously Vimeo is a paid element, and I'll end up with licenses coming out of my ears at this rate.
Yeah, that's
everything.
Why I'm thinking if we do the private YouTube channel, I think if we do that, use the form for the version history. So definitely, let's plug some time in outside of this. Yeah, you know, work for me and you, but I think it would be really
well,
good.
We've got some stuff to discuss next week anyway, haven't we?
We have.
We have.
Yes.
And my phone stopped working.
Ah, right, okay.
Again. I think my router's done something to itself again.
All right, okay. Well,
so, yeah.
We'll definitely get that sorted.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's positive. But going back to what you were saying about I pick up a point, centralized. Because the other thing is, the WeTransfer, I'm guessing what happens is you make amendments to the video, you WeTransfer it to them, they've now got a copy.
Yeah.
They say, can you do X? That emails back to you, you create another version of that WeTransfer, you resend it to him, he's now got two copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we put it on the YouTube channel, bingo. Central source, one source.
Because then
we can
overwrite the.
Correct.
Sometimes I keep it for a version history myself.
I think you would do, but it's.
Yeah,
generally
I do. Because if I go, oh no, change it back.
Yeah.
I go, oh, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I've learned that lesson.
Yeah, definitely. There you go. That's a great idea. That's a good project to work on.
Yeah, really good. So it's, again, it comes back to that point of just allowing yourself to. I think looking at your own business sometimes objectively is really hard.
The problem is, Adam, when do you get the time apart from when it's a Christmas break?
When it's Christmas break.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But doing
that is so difficult at times because you're so busy running, thinking, oh, my goodness, I must do this for this customer, that for... Whereas the Christmas does allow you to go,
do
you know what?
I've literally took a fresh look at what our processes are. I haven't been sat on my computer. I've had time off.
Yeah.
But it just gives you space to think...
Yeah.
You know, you could be on a dog walk, you could be doing whatever, like in the gym, just like, oh yeah, I should maybe look at that.
Yeah.
Playing Factorio going, ooh.
I can automate this.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, yeah, that's given us a good couple of episodes more, in fact, because we still need to do the networking one.
Yes.
I'd love to get that.
Yeah.
How's your Starlink that you didn't get?
I haven't got it yet. I want it. I'll show my wife the other day. Well, to be honest, I was trying to, what was I doing? Something was driving me absolutely nuts. Uploading a video to YouTube for a client.
Yeah.
I was banging my head against the wall. And then I was like, oh, it's because Adobe Cloud is downloading Photoshop at the same time and I've got no bandwidth. You know, all this sort of stuff. Like, oh, so that needs to happen. But yeah, so no, 2024 for me, automation.
Yeah.
We've spent a huge amount kind of re-looking at what we're doing and how we're doing it. And that was like I've thought about it myself, and also just coming back, you know, some of the team were in over Christmas.
Yeah.
So they've been looking at, you know, our social media packages and how, because I think I said to you, like, our social media has really moved on.
Yeah,
in 2023, in my view, to do it well. The need to venture down the alleyways of reels.
Yeah.
Say on Instagram, for example, is so important now. Like, yeah, it was always important, but in terms of having to go a lot deeper into each platform to make sure we're delivering impact.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of that. So yeah, so it's really been a good time to look at what we're doing and sort of address why we're doing it.
No, that's really important. On the podcast, have I ever told you about that LinkedIn video?
So No, you told me off the podcast.
Right, okay then. So are we allowed to say to people what
happened?
Yeah,
you can say what happened.
Okay, that's fine. So I remember my book, People.
I do.
In competition, because I was mentioning that. I did.
You did mention that they...
Competition for Adam's Rare Bookshops.
Yeah, fictional.
I found out how...
Fictional bookshop fictional for bookshop, us, but real one but for
real
you.
Real one for me. I found out how that customer got hold of me.
Yep.
So I'll change the names to protect the innocent.
Of course.
Apart from me.
My name is Max. Max Power.
No. Adam, who runs the actual bookshop now.
The actual bookshop, not this Adam.
Reached out to me on LinkedIn asking to connect. I was like, okay, I'll connect with Adam. And he basically said, I've been passed your name on by George. And I was like, oh, nice, yeah, George. Great guy, George. Who's George?
You've made him up for this person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I went, yeah, great guy, George. Not a problem at all. You know, fine. Linked out with him. You know, so he got me to co-op for this thing. I finished LinkedIn with him, and then George gave me a call. And I was like, hiya, George. I've not spoken to you for 30-odd years. And it literally must be 30-odd years. And we started reminiscing.
Yep.
And he went, oh, yeah, it's been great. I remember working with you then and stuff like that. He said, but then I left this company that I was engaging with. This wasn't when I was resilient. It was one of my first jobs.
Yeah.
Anyway, bottom line, this gentleman, George, is working with my customer, Adam, about AS400s. Which, for those who don't know, are very large computers. You know, they green on black, but they basically do the workhorse of ERP packages. And he went, yeah, I was working with this guy, Adam, and he asked me, do I know anybody that does IT support? And I went, nah, I have no idea. Now, bearing in mind, 31 years ago, I wasn't doing resilient.
Exactly.
And then George said to me, and then about a week later, Andy, I was scrolling through LinkedIn and your podcast came up. And you said you were chatting with this guy called Adam. And I went, oh, goodness me, I remember Andy Reid. I said, well, 30-odd years ago, he clicked on the link and it went Resilient. And he went, oh, what's he doing? Clicked on Resilient's website, went back to Adam and went, I do know somebody that does IT for me, and recommended me. So social media works, Adam, from 31 years ago.
And it has been, what I would say, it has been working. It's just sometimes hard to attribute a direct...
We mentioned this on, remember, Scammers.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Can I attribute any of the social media that HubSpoke Media have done for me? Back that episode 63.
I think it's three or something, yeah.
No, I can't. Today, episode 17, yes, I can. It works.
Yep. One in particular.
Yeah, but that was like brilliant.
That's what clients go to us all the time. They want to see the one in particular.
Yeah.
What I'd say, though, is also the trajectory of your client base has lifted. And that's due to your hard work. It's not just due to us. But sometimes it is very hard to nail down a given client to a thing. I've got a similar one.
Oh, sorry. Before you go on to the similar one, what was about your head?
Oh.
Just remind him.
You're going to like this one. Oh, you're going to like this. So before Christmas, everything's fine.
Yes.
Before Christmas, I have a mole around the back. It's all not right. This on the side of my head. I've got a mole around the back and it was acting up. It was itchy and this, that and the other. And scabby, so I thought I'd better get checked out. Sorry, not too much detail, but you'll like this. So they arranged to do a biopsy, a scrape thing. So I had to go into surgery.
Yes.
And this was just before we broke up for Christmas.
Oh, bless me.
So I walk in, and it was just local anaesthetic.
All right, okay.
I walk in. Staff were fantastic. Before anyone thinks I'm criticising the NHS, please don't. The staff were brilliant. I went in, I thought, this is, I just felt like I was taking up a resource, yeah, to be honest. I thought I was going to walk in a room, the guy goes, and then he goes, no, it was a full surgical theatre.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like, right, Mr. Walker, please remove your trousers. I was like,
but the mole's on my head.
Yeah, it's on my head, but on this gown. I was like, wow, it's because I was going to the theatre, I had to be sterile.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I go in, lady, with there being a local anaesthetic, the lady turns up with a wheelchair for me to sit in. She pushed me all the way through to theatre. They were brilliant. They were unbelievably brilliant.
The care and attention.
I just found it hilarious that only I would have to go for something like this and have to take my trousers off. So there you go.
Well, and yeah. Have you got everything back? Is it all okay?
I don't know yet.
Right.
I think so. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
So get yourself checked, though. Definitely. If you're unsure,
it's perfect.
Big believer in getting yourself checked. It is so important, and that's what I've done there. So
I always
spread that message. Yeah. Get yourself checked.
Social
media. No, we're fine.
Yeah.
This is kind of around the. So a while ago, when we first started doing the podcasty stuff, I actually did a video on Instagram,
right?
Which was
the chipmunks.
Jess did put a chipmunk theme tune to a video. Thanks to the TikTok guy who said, "Look, like the bad guy at the chipmunks."
You haven't caught him yet, have you?
Huh?
You haven't caught the chipmunks.
No, I haven't.
Have you?
I got excited. I thought you meant Chippendales at first, and then I realized, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's
anyway,
a different subject.
So what happened was I did a video where I'm talking to the phone. Alina filmed it.
Right.
Talking to the phone, and I had a podcast mic in front of me, and I said, "Listen, you know, hello everybody. Just want to make you aware of the podcasting stuff we're doing. Listen to the quality of this audio." And as I said, listen to the quality of the audio. We switched from the phone audio to the podcast audio.
Ah, clever.
Yes. And I went, how good does this sound? This sounds really, you know, really good. I won't appreciate my voice. It's questionable, but, you know, in terms of quality.
Yeah.
And got a DM. We're interested. We filmed the first episode of their podcast just before Christmas.
Get in.
All because of that one message. So it does happen.
It does.
But you've just got to keep putting things out there, put fresh ideas out.
Yeah.
And it is literally me going, listen to the quality in this audio. Got the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it doesn't have to be the most technically clever thing. It can just be showing your knowledge, which is what you were doing there. No point. Do you remember we went back in that episode to say you never just sell? Don't just buy teams, buy this, buy that, right? Essentially, this client that you've onboarded, I'm assuming they have taken teams, maybe?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Okay. So, but no point in the episode. We're talking about something. It could have been anything. Yeah. It could have been the VAT episode with Hillary. Talking about chocolate covered biscuits. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
You know, at no point were you going by, even though you used to keep going by teams,
but
it wasn't that video because we don't publish that as social media short content. But yeah, so it just goes to show if you're just talking about the things, you know.
Yeah. Although I did get a lot of comments about the Christmas episode you put out and my nodding antlers.
I told you they were distracting. I spent the whole episode looking above your head. You must have been going, what's he doing? He can't make eye contact.
Well, you put out that video and all I got was all my friends going, nice antlers. I'm like, yeah, but what about the content? Well, I didn't notice. I just noticed your antlers.
Do you want teams? No.
You didn't tell me to buy teams, did you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But that's the point. And to kind of go back to that sort of stuff, it's important to, you know, it's about putting yourself out there, it's about telling your story, it's about showing your knowledge, showing your expertise, and occasionally going, yeah, buy teams.
Yeah, but it was that journey. So, but that is phenomenal. This gentleman, 31 years, remembers me for my very first job that I got.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I know Andy, click. Oh, he does IT. Pass my name on, instantly sale.
That's probably your biggest, like, 31 years to convert.
Oh, God, absolutely. 31 years to convert to a customer.
And it's not even him.
It's
a referral.
But, we mentioned it before, social media, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
It's one of those things, but you have to be on the platform.
Yep.
And I think that proves to me that after all of the stuff, because we mentioned that, you know, resilient social media is getting more attraction, it's getting more interaction, and I'm loving it. I love these podcasts, but who would have thought when you very first said to me, let's do a podcast, would I be coming back 17 episodes later going, I got a sale out of this podcast?
Yeah, well, I was hoping that, you know, it'd be part of that content, but the fact you can directly attribute it to that,
I think it's wonderful.
It's good.
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, so no but good on you, mate. You're in a good business, so, no, you know, that's what it's all about.
No, exactly.
You know, so. look at the handsome photograph I've got going on.
Look at him there. Look at him there. What a guy.
There we go. But no, yeah, I mean, it's been great. So, I've got Mark lined up, truck mechanic.
Oh, that's
to come on
brilliant.
The episode. I just need to set a date. Hi, Mark, if you're listening, and he does listen.
We've got Jason, got Dan,
got Claire from the college.
Yeah, she definitely.
She's keen. Yeah, she's mad keen. Well, she said it, so it's happening.
It's happening, yeah, exactly.
So what I think, do you think we need to sort of alternate weeks?
I think that'd be really good. So next week, let's have somebody on. Then the week after, we'll do another.
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is the next thing. If you want to learn about Wi-Fi, and this can be for your home Wi-Fi.
It can be for your home Wi-Fi.
Yep. I had people over on New Year's, like I said.
They scanned
the QR code and had to accept the terms. The terms and conditions are still on there. Enjoy our really slow internet. They were like, why am I accepting this? And they started getting, they're like, are you snooping on this? I'm like, no.
No, keeps it from business and keeps it for our own.
Yeah, but they were like, terms and conditions. I was like, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. But yeah, we'll definitely do that. And then the following week, we'll have somebody else on, and then we'll maybe do some more automation.
Or to what we discussed about the video stuff, I think.
Yes, we Amends. Did. Amends, we'll do that.
And I can update on where we are with Zapier.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, that was a great 2024 introduction.
It was. We got heavy into it straight away. Oh, and we need to play Factorio. That's separate.
We'll give you an update of that next week. Have you got some time this weekend? Are you DJing?
No, I'm not this weekend. I thought January dead. I got a booking over Christmas holiday. I didn't do any DJing over Christmas.
All right, that was a nice break.
On New Year's Eve, I had a phone call going, would you like to DJ tonight? I could have been booked out 4 or 5 times on New Year's Eve.
But New Year's Eve, on the day?
Yeah, on the day. Can you go to Redcar tonight?
And did you?
No.
No.
Family engagement. So all sorted. But
I thought you had already married.
Yeah. No, not. Terrible.
Took you a second.
Terrible. Yeah, so I thought January would be dead, but actually during Christmas, can you do the 19th? So I think it's the 19th. I can't remember where the weekend is, but
I already got
that.
Let's get some Factorio going.
We will.
We shall swap Discord names and get set up.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.